Welcome to episode 121 of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris. In this episode, we're going to drink several different strange beers from some of my favorite Colorado breweries. We may or may not have participation for some other folks around here.
Hopefully we'll have some cameos at least.
All right. So let's get right into it. We're also going to talk some beer news about brewery closings.
Oh, yeah. It's an epidemic.
All right.
Not to be confused with a pandemic.
The first beer is a collaboration beer from Weldworks Brewing out of Greeley, Colorado, and Drecker Brewing. Whoops.
We had Weldworks. Did we go to Weldworks?
No.
Just had Weldworks.
We had their beer
when we went to Rhino.
Actually, we still have some of their beer that we did, the like breakfast stout one.
Was that the one that we put over the ice cream?
Yes.
Okay.
I still have some of those in the fridge because I can't drink it by myself. So this is sort of similar to that style beer. This
looks scary.
Look, guys, we're not podcasting at 9 a.m., but it's kind of close to that. This is called Hardcore Loops Sour Ale. So I'm not going to tell you about the description until you drink some first.
Right. Hardcore Loops. Can I at least see the label?
Yes.
Oh, they look like Fruit Loops and a skeleton hand holding a bowl with milk. Oh, this is going to be like a lactosey, sugary. All right.
All right, so take a sniff.
Oh my God. This smells like candy. No, it smells like the gift shop area in a Cracker Barrel.
It has, I get some sour notes too.
Right. But
there's a lot of fruity, sweet, like milk sugar sweetness.
Yeah, this is gonna be cloying, isn't it?
I have one of these actually, and a few drinks in I enjoyed it more than the first.
Do we have to let it warm up?
Yeah.
Okay.
It tastes a little better warmed up.
So
the color, this is kind of like a hazy straw colored.
Yeah, it's opaque.
Not much head.
None at all.
Didn't pour with much head or it fell away very quickly.
That's the name of your sex tape.
It fell away very quickly.
Not much head.
Either one of those.
We're gonna have to edit that out now.
All right. First sips.
It's more bubbly than I expected. Well, it tastes kind of like a key lime pie.
Okay.
Where you get that whipped cream and then like the citrus bite. But it's really sweet.
Definitely has some tart bite to it.
That makes up for it. Like, I wouldn't want to put this on ice cream. But I would maybe have it with key lime pie. It's good.
Okay, here's the descriptor.
It's better than I thought it was going to be. Like the dregs of a cereal bowl.
With Sicilian lemon, tangerine, and strawberry puree, vanilla, graham crackers, cream cheese, fruity cereal, and milk sugar.
All right. So it has all of those things, but what makes it the sour? I mean, is it the lemon that's making it sour?
No, it's probably the yeast. Sour lactobacillus or something in there. Weldworks makes many very strange brews and some that are good. This one's 4.8%.
So it's nice and light.
I actually liked this after it warmed up a little bit, but it does taste a lot more like Fruit Loops sitting in a cereal bowl.
Yeah. It's better than Fruit Loops because at least, you know, Fruit Loops is a bunch of chemicals. This seems like it's actual citrus being used.
So the Drecker Brewery that they did the collab with is from Fargo, North Dakota.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You don't say it.
But I thought everything in Fargo happened in Minnesota, though. That was very confusing about that movie.
All right, we'll let that warm up, and we're going to talk a little bit. Let's first talk about Maryland beer news, because we're a bi-coastal podcast.
That's
well, not
right.
Coastal, but
you know,
mountains and coast.
Two time zones.
You know, we've got a lot of Maryland stuff and a lot of Colorado stuff, and all around the beer world. But There's been a kind of a wave of recent brewery closures. In fact, as they were happening, Mike and I had a bunch of podcasts like lined up, and we're like, we got to record a podcast about this stuff going right? on. Right. So now that this episode is going to be less time delayed, we'll talk about this. But yeah, like there were, I think, three big ones that were kind of like, well, there was the Guinness Brewery in Baltimore.
So that's been around for...
not that long, right?
I think it's been 2 decades now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been out there, but I guess they're keeping the tap room open, but they're not going to be brewing Guinness beer there. And they're opening a new Guinness Brewery in Chicago.
Now, is that because there's more Irish people in Chicago that will sustain it year-round versus the lack of attraction in the Baltimore area?
I don't know, but they don't really explain why. The other ones are, the other big regional breweries are Flying Dog Brewing,
which kind of links both the Colorado yes. and the Maryland, because they started in Colorado.
They set their brewery on fire here and moved to there was some kind of incident, they moved to Maryland. They've been like a Maryland staple for a long time with beers like Raging Bitch and Snake Dog. And
they brought the Stedman art with them.
Yeah.
Because I guess they met up with him out in Colorado, but he still partnered with them on all the labels.
So FX Matt Brewing Company is purchasing Flying Dog. FX Matt, where they're like maybe that's, New Jersey or something?
That's Yingling, isn't it?
I think Yingling's independent still.
I don't know.
They're Utica, New York.
Oh, no. They're the Saranac.
That might be right.
And they do, there's some other staple beer that they had, but they're still an independent brewery, which is somewhat good, but they're going to move up to that whole distribution center. But yeah, they do Saranac and... there's another beer line that they had that was big in the 50s. Anyway, so they acquired Flying Dog.
Yeah, and so they're moving their brewing out of Frederick, Maryland, where they've been for many years now. And we've done like, I don't know how many Flying Dog beers, and just like going to parties or hanging out, there was always like Flying Dog around.
They have they do some interesting, side projects. They did that Dead Rise, which I don't think they'll maintain that once they move to New York, because I had the whole Old Bay connection, and that was definitely a Maryland creation.
So that one's tough to see, but there are, as we know from a previous visit, there are many great breweries in Frederick, Maryland.
Yes.
We did a beer crawl there.
But some of those are closing. One of the ones we went to shut down. The Smokehouse.
Oh, really?
So they're just at the Brunswick.
The original location.
And they're closing down the Frederick one.
They were right next to that other place. That was maybe too many breweries.
Well, and that, like, so, the in just doing some 6 minutes of prep, like, a lot of the reason that there's a multifaceted reason for these breweries failing. But one of the bigger reasons is the saturation. Like, you have to have something that rises above the norm, because you can walk two doors down and find another bunch of cool people that make decent beers.
Right.
And True Respite was another one that closed recently that we've mentioned multiple times on this, and I
think we've done some of their beers, maybe.
We've had some of their beers on the, but I never got to get you like
I never went
into
there,
that and brewery, and
very near
gone.
To where I used to live when I was in Maryland.
It was right down the street.
That would have been awesome.
Nearly a neighborhood classic brew, but then they closed down. Now again, another tie back to Colorado, which is why we're in perfect locations, Maryland, Colorado. There's the owners live here now.
Okay.
So they, when I talked to the folks at the house about, first off, one of their challenges was they couldn't get their canning process to work. And I think for the end, they had an intention of putting out their what do you call it? With your main beers, not the baseline.
Flagship.
Flagship. Yeah, their flagship beers. Thank you. they were going to can a bunch of those because they probably would have got an uptick as like everyone wants to buy some, save some, which is what I wanted to do. But the only thing they had left that was in cans was their root beer, which I didn't think would really be good for us to do on a beer podcast. But everything else on tap, you know, they're like, we're going to run the taps so we're out and then we're closing the doors. And, you know, definitely the people working back there looked miserable, you know, like they were really into their product and into the whole thing. And
well, that's the tough part. Like the Guinness Brewery employed 100 people. And I mean, obviously True Respite didn't have that many, but it's, there's a lot of people that were trying to figure out what's next for them.
And Duclaw is another big one.
Duclaw is the other one I wanted to talk about. So they were purchased by River Horse Brewing out of New Jersey, which we did a River Horse
episode. We did do that because it's the Hip-Hopopotamus.
Yeah, Hip-Hopopotamus episode. I don't know what number that is, but
our fans will write in and help us out.
So they were, I don't know where in Maryland, they were like,
they're outside near of Baltimore.
Yeah, southeast of Baltimore or something like that. I think I'd been to that brewery a couple times. They had like I think that was the first place I had like a peanut butter.
Yeah, they had that crazy like that. Sweet Baby Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that Reese's peanut butter porter.
So, yeah, those guys are down for the count too. So,
and then I'll add to Denizens, which is, you know, had some award-winning beers down there in Silver Spring and, you know, was pretty popular. And Astrolab, which was also down in Silver Spring, they closed their doors. And these were great, great beers. And it was the kind of thing like you could hit them and, good Lord, I'm blanking on the third one. Silver Branch. Is it Silver Branch?
I don't remember. The Dorothy one?
No, that's, so just FYI, full disclosure.
50-year-olds doing a podcast.
Well, and also I haven't slept in like 20 hours. So I think the other one. So you could go down to Silver Spring, and actually we with some of our friends we'd go biking, but pit stop into downtown Silver Spring, and there was Astrolab, there was Silver Branch and Denizens, and each one had like Denizens was really big on the European style beers. Astrolab had some great experimental beers, and Silver Branch I think is going to stay around because they're pretty close to downtown where they get some of, now that the workforce is returning to downtown Silver Spring, they get a lot of foot traffic, a lot of people go visit there. There's a big presence from the federal government there. So there's
a quote in this article from Jim Bachman, the head of the Brewers Association of Maryland, said there's about 140 craft breweries here, but he says it's not just a Maryland specific problem. And I think he looked up some ones that have closed here on the Front Range of the Denver area.
They're closing in Denver, they're closing in Portland, they're closing in New York, they're closing everywhere, they're closing in D.C.
So it definitely sounds like kind of a correction from a boom over the last decade. There was another quote, did you mention the raw material cost has increased? Another quote from the brewer at Monocacy Brewing up in Frederick, Carl Noop. The cost of raw materials has gone up considerably over the past few years, so being able to develop innovative recipes while keeping costs in mind is a challenge, he said.
And
distribution more challenging than ever.
And because you have to separate yourself and, you know, make it worthwhile for those, because, you know, no vendor is going to want to put your product if it's not moving regularly. They're going to replace you with Modelo, you know, because most places you go have the turnaround product. But yeah, it's not just the raw materials too, though. The cost of water has gone up, the cost of energy has gone up, all this inflation crap, the ability to get small business loans to carry you through, and then the saturation of all the microbrews. So you need to be quality. But that's the thing though. Duclaw, very good. Flying Dog,
all those
very
were good beers, yeah. I mean,
True Respite, very good.
Yeah.
So even quality isn't enough. I mean, I guess you now need, it's not just enough to have a food truck and cornhole.
All right. Well, on that note, let me grab the next beer.
Do we want to close thoughts on this one, or would we save that for the end?
We can save that for...
It's been a while.
We'll drink a little bit more later, maybe.
All right. You know what we should be doing here? Maybe 4 or 5 episodes from now, we need to be doing an Oktoberfest episode with our, you know, actual pumpkin beers and such.
Okay, the next beer is from Four Noses Brewing, another one of my favorite Colorado breweries from Broomfield, Colorado. They have a really great IPA, of course. But this is Blackberry Lemonade Stand.
Okay. See, I think both of these beverages are ones my daughter might want to try.
Sure.
Oh, I like these glasses. These are like the pint glasses, but tiny versions.
All right, Blackberry Lemonade Stand. This is a sour ale. I won't talk about the ingredients until you've had a chance to taste it first. So,
okay.
Color of this is a...
Well, this one, there's a nice fluffy pink head on this.
Yes.
It's opaque. Again, can't see through. So what was it? It's a raspberry color.
Raspberry red.
Yeah. Mauve. I don't know colors.
I know like the didn't six you just, colors.
You just went through a decoration thing that you should know some strange color names.
I didn't do anything. Okay.
I just showed up. Okay, that definitely has way more sour on the nose than the previous beer.
Really? I don't catch too much on the nose. Maybe a little soapiness?
That might be the glass. I get in that sour tang, a little bit of like a raspberry smell. Is it? But it's not raspberry. Is it blackberry? You said
Blackberry Lemonade Stand.
Blackberry Lemonade Stand.
Woo.
There's no sour tart to that. Oh, comes on you. It's almost peppery at the start.
What does that taste like?
Lemonade.
Blackberry lemonade. Maybe blackberry lemonade, but I get something else.
There's something peppery in there, mixed with all the tart and the citrus.
This is definitely like almost if you wouldn't know it was a beer.
This is not a beer. Does it say it's a beer?
It's a sour ale.
Okay.
But yeah, almost not a beer. I mean, it's fruity, super fruity.
That's flavor. What it is. Fermented malt beverage. That's what an FMB is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's another reason why...
drags on brewers.
Yeah, right. Because all the kids like these zero-calorie seltzers.
Kombucha beer.
Or they like the Mike's Hard Lemonade. Or they're into their... hipster cocktails with the big ice cubes and the muddle sticks
and the curly mustache.
Yeah, and those people used to drink beer, now they don't.
This is good
summer drinking,
but it's
beer.
Not really, yeah,
but it doesn't have enough of a sharp finish that I'd want for like
I can drink this.
Right, but with I would want like on some sours you want that really astringent tang at the end because it cuts through all the dust in your mouth or whatever. This one seems to be more mellow than that. It doesn't have that bite. It legit tastes exactly what the label says.
Yeah.
If they were going for that, they'd got it.
All right. Sour ale brewed with Meyer lemon, blackberry, and agave nectar.
Ah, is agave the taste you were picking up?
Yeah, my palate's that sophisticated.
I was about to say, it's like, even if I poured agave syrup in something, I wouldn't know there was agave in it.
Interestingly, they use Pilsner wheat grains. I think that's why the beer part of it really kind of fades into the background.
But anything in there from the yeast that would give it that peppery thing?
I mean...
Am I imagining that? No, are you catching any of that?
Pepper, like sours often have a little bit of peppery.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have like rye or anything like that. It doesn't
okay.
Have, but you could definitely get some pepperiness.
Okay. So are we on to recent beer experiences?
Let's do it.
All right. So you want to open with recent beer experiences?
No.
I've had, well, you know, although our last recording came out just last week, we haven't seen each other since April. So since then, I've had several great adventures. I've been, I've had exposure to some great Georgia beers. This, you'd love this IPA. I have the t-shirt, Tropicalia. It's a really good
tropical IPA.
Yeah, it's but it's all, you know, no juices. It's all straight up
from the hops. Yeah.
And they had this fantastic, we went to the Atlanta Botanical Garden, and they had this really great Belgian white, which with like cucumber and herbs. It was like this garden ale. It was really good.
Like a gin and tonic beer?
Yeah. And it was great for walking around outside in the summer, because this was like in June in Atlanta, hot Atlanta. And then I've heard rumor that there's this really cool brewery that is D&D based, but never actually seen it. But every time I go to Atlanta, I hear that I might go there one day. But also went to Boone, North Carolina, and hit some local breweries there, and they seemed to have the right amount. But there was some, like, we went to one that, you know, we did a flight, and there was nothing good, like nothing in noteworthy.
Oh, you just kind of like generic stuff.
Yeah, it was just beer, and it wasn't that good. And
just beer,
but it was packed in there. So I mean, I guess they still get enough foot traffic. But then the other other breweries we went to, which for the life of me I can't remember their names now. We'll put it on the Facebook if I ever recall it, but that was a great adventure in there, and you know, getting flights of beers is always fun.
So I think maybe I do have one beer experience to talk about. So there's a brewery here that we've gone to a couple times recently that I really enjoy. It's actually right next to this place where we got the seats that you're sitting in. So we would
these are pretty fancy chairs.
Check out these seats and then like fret about spending so much money on seats and not buy them, and then go over to the brewery across the way anyway.
Get a little drunk and then be like, it's only $1 million.
And then finally we got drunk enough to buy them. So Cohesion Brewing in Denver, they do all Czech style beers. So like
Kolsch, Pilsner,
lagers and that type of thing. And they had like their anniversary party. We just kind of stumbled on it there. And they had a beer drinking, like beer pounding contest, beer drinking contest. I think I sent a video to our friend group. And
I missed this.
I participated.
How'd you do?
Poorly. So me and one of our friends that we went with. So they do a certain kind of pour that is like almost all foam.
Oh,
it's called like milk or something, some Czech word. So it's like all foam, but it's like, it's not like how do you describe the foam? Kind of more like Guinnessy foam, like little bubble foam that you can kind of like. So it's made for like drinking your whole glass worth of foam in one chug.
Right.
So they like they had different like at different times they had different groups do it. So I signed up to do it, and one of our friends. With one of our friends and did it together, and they lined like the eight people up, and then we all chugged the beers, and I did very poorly. I cannot.
That
I'm not
sounds like
good
a blast
at chugging beers, but it was a fun little blast from the past, and a very cool brewery to check out in the Denver. We should go there sometime.
Sign me up. My old neighbor was amazing. He could like in two gulps drink a pint. Glass.
Yeah, there were some of those guys in the contest.
I was just like, what? How do you do? He's like, you just got to relax your throat. I was like, if you ever go to the other team, you're going to be a big star, man. But he would just take a pint and just go, punk.
Yeah.
And it would just go right down. I was like, you know, the rest of it was like, it was like, poosh.
There
right
was one of those throat. Guys. Maybe I'll post the video on our Instagram.
Now, I can do that. I can do that in... with Guinness,
I can. That,
I
like,
can pound.
I'm not a good.
Not that I
for
want
sure,
to,
but Guinness, yeah, I can put back.
We had that inappropriately politically incorrect named. I'll just tell you the drink, which is a Guinness, where you drop a shot that's a mix of Jameson's and Bailey's into a Guinness, and then you chug it back, and it's like a fine dessert. Because you reminded me on the thing, because I was recently, I was in St. Louis, and I got to sample some St. Louis fare of beers. And some of their better beers down there were actually the Kolsch and Pilsner style beers. But we went to an Irish bar and had those things, and the other guys were...
You can call them car bombs.
Okay, Irish car bombs. But you can't, order that stuff.
You can
stuff.
Just say car bomb.
You can't,
don't call it Irish.
Yeah, but you can't order that like in England or Ireland,
What about the cement mixer? The first time I had one of those, I was like, I almost threw up.
I had to spit it out in the urinal. That's where our friend, that's where John met Natasha at my birthday, is the last time I had a cement mixer. Still remember that. That's disgusting. That's kind of what the first beer is like, because it's like mixer. The cream mixed with the citrus. It's like a cement mixer, like the key lime thing. Like, when it's not curdling in your mouth, it's okay.
All right. Let's drink the final of three odd beers for this episode. This one is another collaboration
That's a box.
Beer. Yeah, it comes in a little box. I was like, what is that box? I'm getting that. But...
So you're definitely marketing for...
It's just a can.
Oh, it's a can. Okay.
It's just a can in the box. We'll put pictures of the box and the can on our Instagram when we post this episode. So,
Instagram, so we can get rid of that X account.
That's right. All right. This is a collaboration between Surly Brewing Company and New Belgium.
Ooh, Surly
Brewing.
I was at Surly. They're out of Minneapolis.
Yeah, somewhere up there. Yeah, that sounds right.
And also, our bikes are Surly's.
Yeah, Minneapolis. And
they had great beers and an outdoor movie theater. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting.
No, and New Belgium. Oh, beer experience. Okay, I've got another beer experience, but let me pour this first.
Okay,
because we'll talk about New Belgium a little bit.
Now New Belgium does the Fat Tire, was one of those beers that in the old days was like, Fat Tire is the greatest beer ever, but you can only get it out, west of the Mississippi. And every time you would travel west of Mississippi, you'd try to get some Fat Tire.
I'm catching little whiffs of this one, Mike.
Uh-oh. So is there anything you can tell me about this that I'm allowed to...
This is called Culture Collab.
Culture Collab.
A blended culture American sour ale. I'll leave it at that, and then I'll read the rest.
Okay, so it's going to be a sour. So it doesn't have as tight a head as the blackberry lemonade, but it's definitely got that pure, hazy...
Darker... like, what color do you call that?
Oh, that's like an amber.
Amber color.
Amber gold.
It's like an amber beer.
And the bubbles are flying on it. Like, yours looks incredibly, bubbly. And the head has nice, tight white bubbles. All right, so I'm going to go for the smell. Yeah, it's that
This
bad?
Has got a little garbage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, this is one of those ones that...
This is the other... Like, a lot of sours now, they're like the first two we had. They're kind of hiding the sour behind fruit
and the
sweetness
sugars,
and weird different things. This is like an old school, like...
Tart.
Kick you in the mouth.
Yeah, like sour. When I first had these, I was like, I'm not drinking any more fucking garbage juice.
This has some garbage juice smell.
All right. But I smell something like vanilla on the top, too. Oh, that's not...
It's got fruitiness.
Yeah, that's
this
not...
is easier to drink than it is to smell.
Yeah, that came off way more mellow.
It ends.
But are
with
you
a really,
up like
really
a vanilla?
Nice,
some sort of...
I get some like smooth. So there is a fruit in here, but I'm getting something other than the fruit, like some kind of maybe vanilla like smoothing flavor.
Yeah, or like a clove or a... I don't know. There's something else herbal in there.
But if you take a big sip, you get the sour too.
All right, I'm gonna do that.
Try a big sip.
Whew! Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to chug this for sure.
No.
All right. Here's the details. Blended culture American sour ale with blueberries aged in virgin oak and red wine barrels.
Red wine barrels. That's what maybe some of the notes I'm picking up. The tannins.
Yeah.
I don't know what those are.
That's the skin. Isn't that from the skin? I don't know. The yeast is a blended culture fermentation, including Brettanomyces. That's that super, super like sour one, traditional old school sours ones. New Belgian Felix culture and Surly House culture. So they threw all the different yeasts in there.
So it's a house, okay, because Surly has some crazy beers, too. That was 2019, though, but all of their stuff was wonderful. That's a really cool brewery. If you ever go to Minneapolis,
I would definitely check that out. So Culture Collab is a true collaboration of ideas, flavors, and craft with our friends at New Belgium Brewing, the gold standard for barrel-aged sour beers in the U.S. This American sour ale features wort fermented with New Belgium's classic Felix culture, the oldest souring culture maintained in the United States.
So is that like sourdough?
Then blended with wort fermented with Surly's house cultures. We place the results in virgin oak and red wine barrels. They sacrifice virgins for this, along with whole blueberries. Blueberries. Ooh. Did I say blueberries or did I say blackberries?
Or remember berries. You said blueberries. Okay. Yeah.
The finished product is golden amber, delightfully complex, and mildly tart. Expect wine-like notes of peach, oak, green grass, and vanilla.
Okay, I got the vanilla.
It's in there. With a dry fruit tannin finish, which you also said.
I said you looked this up. I did not. I swear to God, man. Well, I got to admit, the vanilla, I legit tasted the tannin I just made up.
But here's
that's the only thing I know about wine.
Here's the other thing I said. The tannin finish from extending aging on blueberry skins. Didn't I talk about the skins?
Yeah, all right.
Look, guys, we know stuff.
Accidentally, but we know it. We just use words and they connect some dots.
You come for the beer education, right? Yeah. This is 8.8%.
Oh, Jesus, really? Okay, maybe we should have taken those big pulls.
The blackberry one was 5%. So the last two were 4.8 and 5%. Now okay.
We're into some dangerous territory.
Okay, so my beer experience. New Belgium Brewing. So
are they based out of Colorado?
Fort Collins, Colorado.
Okay, Fort Collins.
This ties into my son just turned 21 several weeks ago over the summer.
Congratulations.
So we went up there, went to a nice dinner, he got a cocktail legally. And then we walked around a little bit and we walked over to Fort Collins to the New Belgium Brewery.
Okay.
And we got a couple beers there, including...
Do they do Voodoo Ranger?
Yes.
Okay, I like some of those Voodoo Rangers.
Including, what is their...
But are they owned by any big breweries?
No, they're independent.
So they're still independent, but they have a hell of a distribution now because they're out there.
They have a brewery in Asheville, North Carolina as well.
And is that how they're getting up to...
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense why there is so much prevalence of their beers in Boone, because if they're in Asheville, that makes sense.
Yeah. Why am I blanking on their beer that I got? It's a
Fruity Loops. Are you checking out their inventory?
Yes.
But that one's warmed up, so it's going to taste like the cereal in your bowl.
Yeah.
Does it taste like Fruit Loops?
It does.
Right?
It tastes like Fruit Loops.
You're going to get the citrus with a little bit of like creamy milk.
What kind of beer is that?
A sour ale.
Oh.
Hardcore Loops.
Oh, I thought you just pulled that out of your brain. I didn't realize.
No, it's real. It's real.
No, it's actually the beer and its marketing. I will admit that you sent that picture when you had it the first time. What'd you think? Any thoughts on the beer? All right, that's it. All right. When you originally took that picture... and sent it when you got that beer. Like, so I saw the...
Right.
And I was just like, that is a beer I do not want to try. But after tasting, it's not bad. I like it. It is not terrible.
Okay, so the beer I was thinking of from New Belgium is La Folie. That's their, like, long-known sour.
Okay.
La Folie. So I got one of those.
For that.
Yeah. That's probably the one that uses their, like,
75-year-old or whatever
yeast thing. So I got one of those and I made Ian try it.
Yeah?
And he did not enjoy it.
No? Does he like any beer?
He likes... I don't know if he likes beer. very much.
At all?
Yeah.
See, is that part of the problem with the decline of breweries? The kids coming up today don't want beer. They want
He's like, you know,
sweet treats.
Yeah. It takes a while to build up a palate for some of these beers.
Well, I mean, yeah, when we didn't really get into enjoying the complexities of beers until we were in our later 20s. Like, we would seek this stuff, but, you know.
This one is tough.
The
Culture Collab.
The Culture Collab. I of the three, it's got... Yeah, well, I don't want to give this one out. That tastes just like lemonade. One.
Blackberry lemonade stand.
Does it taste like lemonade?
Tastes good. Tastes like kombucha.
Like kombucha?
Yeah, it does a little bit. It's
sour.
It's just like the...
And fruit.
It's just like the mild... Sweet sour.
But yeah, you get that fermented stuff going. Going for a second sip, though. Would you, if you drank that and I didn't tell you, would you ever suspect that that was what somebody would call a beer?
If someone gave it to me and said, this is kombucha, I'd be like, cool. But if someone gave it to me and said, this is beer, I'd be like...
No, it isn't. But
you'd be okay either way.
Yeah. So they're all the ones you guys are sampling, in some way, shape, or form, use actual fruits.
I like fruit.
As well as the...
blueberries, blackberries, tangerines, strawberries, Sicilian lemons.
Songs of a Tangerine.
This one has cream cheese, fruity cereal, and milk sugar.
That's cream cheese?
Now, how are you going to put cream cheese? Even though we just had
I don't know what they did with... So they took Fruit Loops and poured it in here or something.
Is that what it was? Just straight up, and then they lied they about the Sicilian lemons.
No, that stuff's in there too, I'm sure, but yeah.
But so that original sour, Ian didn't appreciate, but
he got like a Voodoo Ranger or something. No, he got. They actually brew a beer for the Fort Collins Brewery, the Rams. I forget what it's called. For the university. Old Aggie, it's called.
Old Aggie.
Fort Collins, Colorado State University, is one of the land grant universities.
And they're thing, right?
No, they started as an agricultural school.
Oh, okay.
That one. We also have the School of Mines up here. So. Yeah, so that was the beer experience. It was having a legal beer with my son for the first time. That was a lot of fun.
Do you think the fact that there's been legalization of cannabis has anything to do with the decline of craft breweries?
I mean, in the case of my son? No comment.
But seriously, that generation now, there's so many options. There are the cocktails.
That's true. That's true.
And everybody's so calorie focused or whatever. So beers, if you're gluten intolerant, you can't have beers. And all the kids are gluten intolerant nowadays.
Is that why you think these beers have to do all these crazy things now to kind of compete with these other different flavors? Ciders and then seltzers and...
What were some of the popular drinks when we were children?
Alcoholic.
Mad Dog 2020. And they went through the roof when they started putting out those fucking ridiculous, remember they had that
Zima?
Neon blue.
Zima?
Oh, God. Those things. But yeah, and Bartles and James. And
Wine Coolers was the huge thing in our youth.
And Boone's Strawberry Hill. Remember Boone's Strawberry Hill?
Yeah.
And this lemonade is kind of reminiscent of that to a certain degree. Because it just it has bubbles, it goes straight to your head, and it's sweet. And I think, some of that stuff is part of what's happening now. And it's, this is to try to bring people in. And folks like us, look, we've tried 9,000 different New England IPAs, so... I want to see something different. Yeah. But I also want to know that when I go, I can get my flagship beer because it's really a good brew.
All right, Mike. Let's take one final drink of the warmed up Hardcore Loops.
Hardcore Loops. Oh, my God. It smells... It totally smells like a Cracker Barrel.
See, I think this is much more like a... bowl of aged Fruit Loops, the warm.
Oh yeah, but there's a little bit more. I get a little bit more variance in the citrus notes.
You get some of the citrus. Yeah, I get more lemon, I would say.
Like it's coming out a little stronger and the cream's a little diminished, but it still tastes like Fruit Loops.
All right, let's wrap this one up. So the three beers we had today on this weird beer episode.
Weird beer!
The first one was Hardcore Loops from collaboration of Wellworks Brewing and Drecker Brewing. The second was from Four Noses. It was called Blackberry Lemonade Stand. And the third was a collaboration from Surly Brewing and New Belgium Brewing called Culture Collab. Would you say collab or collab?
Collab.
It's collaboration, though. It's not collaboration, is it?
Well, what do you say, GIF or GIF? Staying out of that one.
GIF.
I'm staying out of that one, but I do agree with your interpretation.
So, which was your favorite of these three, Mike?
My favorite of these three would be the collab.
Interesting. So the most like historical type of sour, or most least crazy kind of. I don't know.
Traditional.
Traditional. Yeah, that's the word to use. Most traditional as far as.
It brought as me much back as to the first sours, but, yeah, but exactly. it did knock the shit out of me. Like there's some of our old vodcasts, like where I was drinking some of those sours, and I'm like super freaking pungent.
Like some of those Hill Farmstead ones,
and some like one of those Gozes we had that was just like, oh my god, it was just like hitting what are those things? Not lemon heads, but like a sour, like just getting the
Jolly
powder.
Rancher.
No, not a Jolly. No, those are too fruity. But like pure, it was just pure sour. This seemed to be a nice balance. And what I liked about it was it had a layered flavor profile. Like it was many things. Now, the Fruity Loops has a whole bunch of things going on. But maybe I'm biased by the title or whatever. But I seem to pick up more nuances. And I like that vanilla finish. Yeah. I wasn't expecting it at all. And then there was some of that pepper in there. There's a lot of cool flavor profile in the Culture Collab.
I think for me, I actually really like the Hardcore Loops. Now, there's two kinds of people for cereal, right? There's like the chocolate people, Cocoa Puffs, and Count Chocula. And there's the Fruity Pebbles and Fruit Loops people. And the Apple Fruity Jacks. Levels Fruit Loops.
Can you say that three times fast?
Fruit Poops.
Can we also drop in the Dr. Demento the whistle with the thing, the drop whistle?
So I'm going to go with Hardcore Loops. I like Blackberry Lemonade Stand too. I don't know if I like
you didn't
traditional
like that
sours anymore, to be honest with you.
Well, all of these
I need
were
a little fruit with my sour now. Oh, there was blueberries in that one too. So.
Well, that was the thing. They had the blueberries, and they had the different... The wine cask, because there's different notes there, the oak, whatever. Like, you're picking up different flavor profiles was pretty cool. I definitely was happy with that experience. But all the beers were good. None of them were clunkers.
Good, interesting beers. And ones like, I'll actually finish the four-pack of Hardcore Loops, unlike the other Wellworks beer that's still sitting in my fridge in the from, like, I don't know, three visits ago than you were.
Right, like episode 100.
All right, so let's close this one out, Mike.
I need to find my thing, which I should have.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to CNBC episode 121. That's also the road that's the exit to my house, Route 121. Oh, glad we talked about Maryland in this one. You can subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or get the podcast directly from our host at cnbcpodcast.com or any other of our multiple podcatchers out there.
You can email us at cnbcpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We also have a Facebook page, but really go to Instagram and subscribe to us on Instagram. That's where we'll have pictures and reminders when we have new episodes. Maybe we'll keep posting to Twitter or X, but I don't know. We also have our YouTube site where we post videos every now and then, you know, usually like 2-3 minute videos where we taste a beer. YouTube.com/CNBC.
Did you give us the handle for the gram?
It's a CNBC underscore podcast.
Rock on. Well, let's take us out with a quote. A man shouldn't fool with booze until he's 50. Then he's a damn fool if he doesn't.
Drink good beer.
Good old Bill Faulkner. Cheers.
Cheers.
Things will never shift.